Hey everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, it's 2017 and we're back. We're breaking down the latest and greatest in the box office. Join us, won't you?
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Oh, look at that. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Box Office Breakdown. Oh, my gosh. What a long winter break we had. Did you miss us? We missed you.
We did. We missed you.
Very, very much so. Look at that. Of course, you know, folks, Box Office Breakdown. This is the show that looks back at the box office that was, and then we like to
prognosticate.
That's right, about the box office.
Yeah.
On the weekend ahead. Yes. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
And hey, guys, my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane.
And, of course, our pals, Quinn Skillion and Richie Sky, are not here today. You know, they're the little holiday hangover for the
day. I was just going to say, I'm like, New Year's was just the other day, you
That's
know?
That's right. You know, sometimes it's tough to crawl out of bed at 10 o'clock at night, Pacific time.
Right?
On Monday.
Yeah.
but as always, folks, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hop in the chat. We've missed hearing from you for a few weeks. So, yes, get in the chat. Chime about anything you think about movies, just this weekend's box office in general, anything that happened over the holiday while we were gone. Let us know what your thoughts are. And, of course, we always have our box office bet. So, yes.
I know, right, for later. I was like, our chat's not up there yet.
No, yes, yes.
Start seeing if you guys are clamoring. Yeah,
it won't be much of a bet since there's only one film coming out. That will be okay. Yeah, so we'll be.
Did you watch a lot over the holiday break?
Of course. I mean, I guess if we're, I guess we can just jump right into it. The number one box office. Yes, we're talking about films that we saw. Number one in box office, again, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Man, that boycott on it did so well.
That's right.
Did you guys talk about that?
No.
Oh, yeah. There was like a dump Star Wars boycott thing.
Really?
Okay, guys. This was really, it was pretty dumb. It was on Twitter and I had to look it up because I'm like, what? And it was just like certain people saying stuff. Because apparently some people didn't realize that the Empire is like Nazi people. And they were offended about that. Okay. That was one thing. And I'm like, wait, what? Even I got that. Like, the old ones is okay, but fine, whatever. So then they felt the new one had too much of a political message. And then people didn't like that the Star Wars writers for the new one did their Rebel Alliance symbol with the safety pin. So then those people out there were like, well, we're just going to boycott Star Wars. And you're like, well, wow. That boycott's doing fantastic.
Such of a boycott that I had not even knew there was one until you mentioned it. So
I only knew because I was looking on Twitter, and I do a lot on Twitter, and I was looking at the, like, what are the top hashtags and stuff, so. Oh. I was looking at the chat. Yes, hello, room. And then, guys, totally a random comment, but still, I worked on a horror movie in October, and that one I still don't know any updates yet, but there's a trailer online. It's just called Followed. If you look up online, Followed, and probably just do, like, the movie, you'll find it. But, yeah. Yeah, guys, you probably wouldn't have really heard much about the boycott unless you were, like, all over Twitter. I don't feel it made many articles or much because it was really that, like, lame that people are just like, are you serious?
Wow, I just, man.
There's a deep hole. It's like when I read comments on YouTube, which, guys, I do love your comments, though, too. But in general, I've read way too many comments on YouTube and IMDb. So there's, like, that rabbit hole of Twitter, like, hashtag and following. Like, what are people saying? And then you find it, and then you're like, I've just spent, like, an hour reading stupid comments. But I feel more enlightened.
I do that on YouTube all the time.
Right?
Like, especially with, like, conspiracy theory videos.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what about this? Oh, what about this?
Yeah.
And I've been up for 4 hours watching YouTube videos.
I have to be working 20 minutes.
Someone in the chat said there was one that was hashtag ditch Star Wars. The one I saw was dump, as in Trump, dump Star Wars.
Oh, boy.
Which right now the Rockettes have all boycotted performing at the inauguration.
But we do have the Morbid Tabernacle Choir, though.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So get ready for that.
Another rock, they won't get fired. It's completely voluntary, and none of them have volunteered.
Oh.
Just saying.
Oh,
it was like,
nice.
I saw something that was like, as of New Year's Day. But yeah, Rogue One, I saw it. Did you see it?
I did see it. I think anybody that has any sort of interest. And I know James was right there. I mean, he camped out for his days. James, our engineer, he camped out for days. Dressed up, cosplayed for the premiere.
I was dressed as one of the people from Star Trek, so that might have been why I was
did that go well?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Borg or something?
A Borg, like perfect.
Yeah. I liked it.
Wow, glowing praise.
Well, I was like, hold on, guys. There's a little bit of explanation. I went into it not with expectations like this is going to be amazing, but I just thought, I'm not going to spoil anything. I thought there was going to be slightly different outcomes on certain scenarios, which, if you know anything about the franchise, doesn't really make sense, but I didn't think of it that way. So then I was like, oh, like at the very end, you're sitting there going, okay. So I did enjoy it. There's definitely so much in it that was a pleasure to watch and exciting. I'm glad. I feel it fits really well in the franchise, and I recommend it to people. And it's funny. I've met some people at I had a family member at Christmas like, oh, I don't really know Star Wars and stuff, and I'm not sure if I see it. I'm like, actually, you don't have to have ever watch Star Wars, and you could watch this movie. I'm like, you understand what Jedis in the Force are kind of idea, right? Okay, then you're fine. You're fine. You could go watch it.
Now, did you appreciate finally seeing the story behind the couple sentences that were mentioned in Star Wars A New Hope, Episode 4? Like, finally hear about, like, you know, the lengths that they had to go to and the sacrifices that were made to get the plans for the Battlestar.
I thought it was very interesting. The backstory, because it makes sense of, like, all these people sacrificed, died, and went through so much to get these plans to the Alliance, to the Rebels and everything like that. And then this is how it happened. So that was cool.
The only thing I didn't like is I figured that I rather would have had less at the beginning where it was just assembling the band kind of scenes.
Oh,
and okay. Had them started already, like in media res. They're already all together. Because that way at the end when everybody is, you know, they're reaching their unfortunate ends, I didn't feel that emotional connection, especially with the team. Like when one of them refers to Jen as little sister, I'm like, you've known her for a day. It made it tough for me to believe the emotional
attachment.
Intense
situations, they bond. It's like summer camp syndrome. Come on.
I don't know. Fair enough. Yeah, let me have them all just being together.
Could have been a little shorter.
Yeah, I could buy that when everybody does
sacrifice
themselves.
I like their backstory moments, but maybe they could have been shorter, I suppose, if you want to go that way.
All right, I guess the big one in the room, though, I think a lot of people are talking about like the digital recreations. So we're talking about Peter Cushing, did you enjoy seeing him?
It was weird at first because then I was like, dude, his face looks weird. And I'm like, oh, wait, that guy's not alive. That's why. And then because I was thinking about, like, here's my silly logic, guys, when I'm watching the movie. I'm like, oh, yeah, because he was, like, old when the first one came out. So, like, there's no way he'd be alive today. I felt it was a little distracting. It looked too much like a really advanced video game where it just was – I could tell it's wrong. Like, it feels off. And then Carrie Fisher's last moment thing, the little cameo that's there, that was fine because it was short. You know, it's not a talking a lot kind of a moment. But the, blanking, I'm like the Empire guy talking a whole lot. I'm like, did you like it? Did it bother you?
It didn't bother me, but I felt like it's one of those where you just, since I knew he was not alive, I just kept on looking just... like trying to pick out all like, oh, yep, that's not real. That's, you know, just not. Oh, yeah. And I just feel like it was mostly the eyes. The eyes just didn't quite.
Doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it said, I mean, I think it's interesting to talk about in terms of you're talking about like especially, I would say like genre franchises and stuff where they've gone over like, say, Star Trek or like Doctor Who or Star Wars over such a long length of time that if you want to do stories where you can go back into the past or bring characters like Doctor Who where you can travel within his own many lifetimes,
yes,
you want to see previous reiterations, but you want to see the original actors in those roles, which you know, sometimes you can't because they passed away.
It's interesting when they de-age someone. I just rewatched Westworld over New Year's. I did that. That was my, guys, we're going to marathon Westworld. It was good, and the people I showed it to really liked it. But there's young Anthony Hopkins, and it looks super weird. Super weird, because even his body's much more slender, and, like, everything about him is completely fake. But it's really quick. Like, it's like he's walking down a hallway past a character, and then there's just tiny bits, so you're not as bothered. And then you know, you're like, well, Anthony Hopkins is not that age, so we're not going to... So I forgive that one. I'm like, meh, it's okay. That's an example where it's like, you had to do it. Otherwise, he's alive, but you can't make him look 20 or whatever.
Now, if you certainly you get all the approval from everybody's estates and whatnot to use their likeness in a film that they were previously in, are you cool with just using digital recreations of actors playing these iconic characters because you feel they're necessary for the story that you want to tell?
If the character's necessary, yes. What do you think?
I mean,
the way you ask that seems like
No. I mean, I am a fan of, just because as I mean, as if
well,
you're putting your nerd head
licensing on, licensing too.
Yeah, if you're putting your nerd head on, you want to be able to just enjoy the stories and not think about like the real world applications, you know, challenges that make these things possible.
Yeah, it's hard when you're watching a movie. I was watching something else and thinking outside of the movie, like your outside knowledge of it, like either you know somebody's alive or dead, or their real relationships with people, or like one of a fun example. I had a Bollywood film class and we're watching a scene, and this girl in real life, you know, she's married to one guy, and the other guy is her father-in-law. It's the father of the guy, and it's weird because she's trying to seduce both of them in the scene, and so you're watching this going, dude, she's seducing like her dad in a way.
Yeah.
But within the scene, it's just two men.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so it's. I think that's a fun and weird thing with film is going into it and trying to maybe forget what you know in the real world about it. But then it still kind of creeps back in there that you're like, well, there's this thing.
Yeah, very true. I mean, the argument could be made where even if you have somebody as a stand-in and you're digitally replacing his face with Peter Cushing's or whichever character is being created, you're not really getting a Peter Cushing performance because this person is making assumptions of what Peter Cushing can do. He's not actually Peter Cushing.
Now, what about, I actually just, another random one I watched Behind the Candelabra, and he did, I'm totally blank. I'm like,
Michael Douglas.
Thank you. I'm like, the name. He did an amazing job. They show a clip of Liberace's performance, and I think Michael Douglas is like spot on. I mean, I haven't seen many Liberace performances, but watching that interview, like, and how he performs, yes. So what do you think of those, though? Because then that's a biopic where it's somebody completely different portraying somebody else.
Yeah, because I think you're willing to buy into that when you clearly know it's another actor portraying somebody else.
Okay.
Then you feel like, well, these are just choices that they're making based on their interpretation of that person that they're recreating.
Well, then you would hope maybe then if anybody's recreating another actor or performance that they would have watched and studied it and try to make it the best educated guess of what they would do.
So, like, say they had recast it.
Yeah.
Do you, they use like makeup kind of like they did in the prequels where they kind of use makeup to make him look very close to Peter Cushing, but of course not, and then have him play that role. Would you have been fine knowing like, oh, well, that's not really Peter Cushing, but it's somebody that looks kind of similar and he's playing this
role? I think it would be interesting if they found someone who looks really close to him because, I mean, there are people out there that you could have done a casting to be like, it's a lookalike. I don't know if it would have been. For me, I'm not so much of a nerd for Star Wars that I would have been bothered if it was just an elderly gentleman who looks like him versus that digital face looks wrong.
Gotcha.
So I'd be curious if they had found someone who looks just a lot like him and maybe just change him a little bit. Like maybe small modifications might not have been so bad, but like the full face was very, that's not real. Not real.
Yeah, because even like with Doctor Who, like going back into his past lives, and kind of like I would be at this point comfortable with them recasting like William Hartnell, some of the earlier Doctors, Patrick Troughton, that you know just recast him with other actors and let them play that, just because I would love to see that version of the Doctor interact with modern day versions.
Sure,
you know, so I'm willing to forgo like it's not the original actor. I'd rather just have that character in itself exist.
Yeah.
So, nice, great side talk that we hear again.
Yes.
Hot talk, but regardless.
I know, random talk. Well, you know what? That's what movies are. That you think about one thing and it leads you into another discussion. We love movies, and that's why we're talking about this stuff.
There you go. Here we go. A lot of the people in the chat room agreeing with you, Carrie. Look at that. Just recast the damn thing. Thank you, Alvin. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, special effects have gotten much better. Like, I remember watching, I think it was like when Beowulf came out, and those faces are just so not right. Like, it wasn't bad, and I didn't hate the movie, but the faces are just that much off that you're like, you're just bothered by it.
Or even Polar Express, too, if you look at that.
It's stylized enough, but it is creepy.
Oof.
It just looks... I'd rather be, like, more... Just go more computer or more, like, cartoonish, because then it doesn't bother you.
I gotta admit, I am a huge fan of that de-aging, though. There's something about, like, seeing Michael Douglas in his Wall Street years in Ant-Man.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Or,
That weirded me out. That was weird.
I thought that was so cool.
No, because I'm like, that looks weird. But then that's also real world going, that's not how old he is.
Yeah.
But makeup, another one, because I just watched it, guys, just the other day. Behind the Candelabra, Matt Damon's skin looks amazing when you first introduce him. That I'm like, dude, I didn't think he looks so young. But I'm pretty sure that's, like, pretty much all makeup that makes him it's like perfect, that like youthful, attractive, and then it's like, pretty sure he has a little more wrinkles than that, but it looks good and it's good makeup.
Here in the chat, yeah, we've got Albin saying you're never going to get the performance that the person would have given if they were alive.
Yeah, that's, and then recastings happen all the time. Actually, guys, random recasting thing. I just had this discussion the other day. Was what about with recasting within a franchise, a main character? Are you okay with it or not? Because we were talking about The Maze Runner. Because last I heard, the second one, the main actor got injured during filming such that they've paused or permanently not doing number three. Now, the question is, should you just recast him? Because he did one and two. I personally am like, no, he's the guy. You can't recast it. But there are some franchises where they do. But it's kind of weird, I think, with the main character.
It always feels weird, like, when it does do a recast, especially at a third one. It all of a sudden makes it seem, like, less than the other ones.
Yeah, because it's like, so why didn't you get him and stuff? So I'm like...
So you, if you guys didn't care enough to really work hard to get everybody, then why should we care enough to really watch this?
Because then you almost have to reiterate, like, no, no, it's the same person. No, really, it's supposed to be the same person. Because I think then you're sitting there going, is that the same guy? No, it's not the same guy. Well, okay, it's the same character, but, like, like, imagine here, Dr. Parnassus is the only one, like, it's completely different casting, but it makes sense every single time the actor switches.
Yeah, or it's, because, I mean, I don't know, like, certainly with the main character, because you think, like, say, when it went, when Rhodey changed in the Iron Man films from to Don Cheadle in the second one, and they had a little meta moment in the courtroom where it's like, this is me now, deal with it, and like, okay, it's a little meta moment, got it, gotcha, thanks for...
I think the Crow is a great example of that, because if Brandon Lee didn't die, I wonder if that would have been a great series, but because he died, no one was like, no, this guy can't play the Crow, no matter who it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Or in Spartacus, they just have a new main character.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Because he passed away, yes.
Guyver had, they had at least two movies, and that one they recast the main character.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well. And it's like an alien movie thing.
And was it distracting, or just like, no, it's fine?
Yeah, you're like, that one, but they're really cheesy. But yeah, it was weird, because you're like, oh yeah, you'd keep reminding yourself it's supposed to be the same character. So, yeah, it was a little distracting. Yeah, it's on Maze Runner. Somebody said, thanks. Maze Runner's on hold. Schedule. Well, yeah, hopefully he gets better. It was like a weird accident, too. Like he got hit by a crane or fell off of something. And you're like,
speaking of this, being able to take yourself out of like the real world compared to the movies, do you wish that they maybe like poked fun or at least acknowledged what people like you were thinking? Like in that scene where the girl is like trying to seduce her father-in-law and her guy, if she was like, ew, you're my dad, like would you be happy if they had something like that instead of just pretending like the audience, no, pretend like it never happened. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Both. I mean, I like it in, like, I hate in zombie movies where they go, you, the watcher, has never watched a zombie movie ever. So we're not going to even say the word zombie. And you're like, no, we watch them. We've seen tons of movies. They've been around a long time. Please don't ignore the fact that I've seen those movies or shows. Or there are some movies where I appreciate where I don't even know what it was, but I was watching something and character is about to do something and like, this is, I, the viewer, go, this is really stupid. And then the character goes, this is really stupid. I'm like, thank you. So that was, I mean, maybe it's not so meta to say what real world stuff, but it was a show, I think it was a show, but they totally pulled out all the things like you were thinking the character did too. Like the writers acknowledged you, the viewer, like, yeah, we know. Or... yes, this is this thing. And that I liked because I was like, oh, thank you. I'm glad you're acknowledging that thing that I'm thinking of. I know that's so vague, guys, and that's such great vocabulary thing. But
In the chat, Drew Skull brought up the Batman franchise.
So, oh, Batman. That's true. That's different.
Yeah.
True.
And I didn't get so hung up with that like thing, oh, that's not Bruce Wayne. No, that's a Bruce Wayne. It's interesting seeing what different interpretations that the actors did for those. I still think probably, if I looking back, I think I probably enjoyed Michael
Superman.
Keaton the best.
That too.
Ugh,
the Flash, the show to the movie. I don't watch The Flash, not by choice. I just haven't got around to it, kind of thing. And I was weirded out seeing that he's not going to be in the Justice League movie. That's a different actor. And I'm like, but there's the guy from the show. Why didn't you use him? Like,
because that's a DC movie universe, man. We're in a big DC entertainment.
But you got an actor who's already doing it.
It's a big multiverse. I know. It is frustrating. I feel like, but DC TV should be better about using that as a pipeline to get fans excited about the movies, even if they're not using the same actors.
Oh, some good question in the chat. Thanks. Wait, is the fourth wall meta? I love when characters talk to the viewer. Oh. I think that's fun.
Getting a little Ferris Bueller?
Yes. I don't know. It's just really fun, and I enjoy it, especially if they are relaying what you're thinking or giving you insight. Like, House of Cards did it really well. Like, that was really subtle and not often. Okay, not when he does it is subtle, but they don't have it as often. If you, like, go back and watch it, you're like, oh, it's actually not that many times. But when it happens, it's just very impactful.
Oh, interesting. I've yet to watch that.
Have I watched House of Cards?
There's, you know, as always, there's so spoilers, much to watch.
Spoilers, he has
so
the sides to camera, and they're amazing. My favorite one is, like, with children. He's like, I hate children. I'm like, yes. It's very, because it's a funny moment of him, like, ah, yeah, this is great. I hate children. I'm like, okay. It's funny. Anyway.
Well, getting back to our top five here. Coming in number two, Illumination Entertainment's and Universal's production of Sing came in number two, $42.8 million. I have to admit, I have zero interest in seeing this film, only because I feel like it's like 5 years too late.
Yeah, it would have been better when, like, The Voice and, oh my gosh.
American Idol.
Thank you. When those were, like, I feel those were super huge, like, 3-5 years ago.
Yeah, I just don't.
You have to take in consideration that they've probably been animating this for this the last 5 years.
This is true, I know, and they're like,
and now it's ready to
yes,
go.
And
yes, then you're like, man, all
and
right.
They're like, man, we missed the boat on that.
Yes.
Like, think about how long Shrek, like Chris Farley was supposed to play Shrek. That's how long they'd been animating and trying to make that movie. And then he died, so they recast
Michael Myers. And
yeah.
Box office history was made.
I think for Sing, I was really not that interested when I first saw the first trailer, but like a couple animated movies, seeing the second trailer, I'm like, maybe, but that might be a rent it at the library for free movie later.
Yeah. That's
Not going to pay for that one.
Albin in the chat did say Sing was good like Storks, and I did like Storks. You're right, Albin. So, but I still, I just don't know. Like this subject matter does not grab me at all. I'm like, ugh. I feel like I
not
know
really.
The story. It's all these people that are just using this as an opportunity to change their lives, mm-hmm. and their lives will change at the end of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, great, thanks.
The
power
no
of
rush.
Song.
It is not high on my list.
No. I'll see you when you can come right into my home on the free paid TV.
I've been renting a lot. Well, I mean, it's not really renting because you're not paying. No, I've watched a lot of movies I've been catching up on from the library and Netflix, so that's not top of my list. I have a long list, and I've watched a lot, but I'm like, no, you're not there.
Well, let's find out if number three is on your list. Is Passengers, old Chris Pratt. No. come on now. From Sony, $16.1 million.
You know, I really like sci-fi, and at first I kind of was interested, and then I'm like, And it was weird, not that buzz normally affects how much I want to see a movie, but it was weird hearing random edges of conversations about it that were talking negatively, and it was not enough that I go, this is what people said that they didn't like, but there were people, like, getting antsy about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody sing, like, really its praises. I've only heard people really detract about it, like Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt. You know, they just, you know, they do their kind of usual kind of thing, but their chemistry, I guess, doesn't work well together, is what I've heard.
Yeah, and
The setup seems kind of creepy when you're talking about that.
And it was one of those, like, either it's kind of been done before or the payoff, I don't feel it's going to be as good as the buildup from what the trailer tells you. Like, so what is the reason they woke up? Either you're going to be like, that's amazing, or you're probably going to be like, well, that's it. Maybe later. Another later one.
I have to admit, the trailer seemed intriguing to me, and yet the more I read about the film and heard people's feedback about it, the less interested I got in seeing it, which is a shame.
I don't see whose name it was now, but the chat room said Passengers was meh. Ooh, top 10 of 2016. Oh, that'd be really interesting and hard. I would have to, like, I have a written planner. I mean, I like to write it down. I write down what movies I'd watch. I'd almost have to make a list of everything I watched and then, like, go through and be like, and check if it actually came out that year. That's the other problem of, like, I maybe watch a lot, but I don't know if it came out this year.
Oh, actually, you know what we should do next week? We'll just come
maybe
back.
By next week.
Yeah, next week we'll write our top tens. And we'll share them with you guys. And
okay.
You guys can laugh at us. And
yeah, thanks, guys. I need a little more time to prep. I'm like, ooh, I don't even remember.
We didn't even think of it. We only had 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a great
off.
Idea, guys. Why didn't you, like, tweet us that? So tweet us, guys. Hashtag box office breakdown or hashtag, or, you know, tweet at us and guy's got good ideas.
Yeah.
that's such a like good like New Year's. Like, yeah, that's right. The best movies
to we just chilled out for 2 weeks. Didn't think anything.
I watched movies and shows.
What dopes we are. Coming in at number four, Moana, still kicking butt at the box office. Yeah. Another $10.9 million.
Good family movie.
Yeah.
So.
No, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, excited to see it doing well. I'm wondering, over under 4 years before the next sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Because I imagine it's doing so well. There's got to be a sequel coming.
I'll have to put it on Twitter. I need to find it. But I saw a super cute Moana cosplay where it's like a little girl and then like adult Maui. And it's just like, like a toddler. And it's so spot on. It's so cute. But anyway.
And
too shy to tweet, guys. No, you should tweet at us. Come on. Can we go back to Star Wars? Because that was something that was, okay.
So Nicholas Random has a subject right here in the chat.
It was, would you like if Jyn had become a stormtrooper and worked for the Sith? Yeah, that was something, I did look that up, that if they analyze some of the trailers side by side, and there are shots that are very specifically in the trailer, they're not in the movie, which we've talked about that happens a lot, but they're like super different. There's times where she's dressed in stormtrooper outfit. There's like the all blacks outfit. There's shots that are on the beach. They're not on it. I don't know if I find the article, I'll try to retweet it, but it like went here. Look, mm-hmm. These shots are so different. I like how it went. I think it's interesting. They had an alternate version, but ultimately they went with this. It'd be cool though, is if they keep them, put it on like the DVD later of here's the alternate takes.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
That would be cool to see later.
Yeah, the reason that I read, and I'm sure you saw that too, is that they feel like they needed to kind of soften her character a bit. She was a little bit cold in the original cut.
That could be a good reason, because you've got to care for the main character. Yeah. So.
I still, we're talking about spoilers, but it's been out for, like three weeks. But, yes. But certainly at the end, when the few characters are still around, mm-hmm. and there's still time to get out. And they, instead they decided to just, like, relax, take their time.
Oh.
I'm like, come on, guys. I'd be looking for anything to hightail it out of there. I found that irritating.
That is my Romeo and Juliet complex of, like, why didn't they just leave?
Yes.
Like.
I don't understand.
In high school I made a animated alt take on Romeo and Juliet using Barbies, and I had an alternate version where they left and survived. And so I was like, no, this is stupid. Why are you guys just sitting there? You should leave. No, yeah. I'm totally with you.
Yeah, just go. Just get out of here.
Just leave. It's fine.
Coming but in finally yes. running our top five. Why him? James Franco, Bryan Cranston. $10.6 million.
Did you guys see that?
I did not see
Based on the trailer alone, I'm like, nope.
I feel like going to the super mm-hmm. easy joke of when you tattoo a bunch of people, mm-hmm. random people's faces onto your own body. I'm like, okay, got it. Great.
Mm-hmm. I like the actors, but man, that concept was just like,
Yeah.
No, I just was like, nope. My hashtag, the description would be why.
Because I feel like just by watching the trailer, you can really guess how the movie's going to go and what the ending's going to be.
Yeah, I don't care.
Where it's like they're gonna get along. They're gonna find like, oh wow, gosh, we really do have a lot in common after all.
Exactly. They're gonna have some, enemy of my enemy is my friend. They'll have some external force, and they're like, oh hey, we're gonna be buds.
That's right.
Hey, I have really bad tattoos, also.
Bad faces, though.
I would love it if you put my face in
your chest.
Are we talking
about me personally?
Yes.
Jake. Yeah. Do you have faces?
I have one tattoo, and it's not of faces at all.
Okay.
But it is not a great tattoo.
I have two sets. I say sets because one's three, but no, they're not bad. But faces, that is so risky to get done because that artist has to be super good.
There you go. I have a tattoo of your face on my body, James, just so you know.
I love it.
You're welcome. Aww. So that's the domestic box office. Real quick, mm-hmm. we'll touch on international numbers.
Yes.
Now, certainly Rogue One blowing up, not just domestically, but internationally as mm-hmm. well. So far, it's got to $774.9 million at the global turnstiles. And it's made another $45.8 million during the three-day holiday. And it's only a 13% drop in the like four markets from last frame. Comparatively, last year's Star Wars The Force Awakens saw a roughly 28% drop in its third week, which did not include the distractions of New Year's Eve. The overseas total on Rogue One is $350 million through Sunday. So look at that. Not too shabby. Comparatively, before Force Awakens and Rogue One, which one did you enjoy more?
Because I'm the optimist, Force Awakens.
Interesting. Okay.
Not that Rogue One isn't optimistic, but because of outcomes of characters, I like Force Awakens more.
I felt like I think I liked Rogue One more than I did Force Awakens because I feel like I was bringing in too many expectations.
Oh,
with Force
yeah,
Awakens.
No, I didn't have any for either. I just was like, that's true. But Force Awakens, I was a little bit downplayed because I rewatched all the old Star Wars movies. Yes, guys, I did do 1, 2, and 3. And I watched the Clone Wars animated movie, but I did there's like a version to watch them in order. So if you're showing it to your kids, to not reveal that Darth Vader is Luke's father.
So they get the same satisfaction. Like,
yeah,
oh.
You do like 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6.
Kind of go back into
the
backstory.
I was like, that's really cool. Which I did that. It was a good way to watch it.
Oh, really?
Nice. I liked watching in that order and then threw Clone Wars in there where that falls. But I think I just was on the hype of the old Star Wars movies. So then when I went to Force Awakens, I was like, oh, but the old ones.
Oh. Moana, passing $400 million globally after a 21.3 offshore weekend. Notably, in New Zealand, the Polynesian Navigator sailed to the second best opening ever for a Disney animation or Pixar release. Lion Gate also had a little action with La La Land, which took an early total of 27.8, with 17.7 coming from Korea after 4 weeks. And Universal Sing, as expected, has crossed the $100 million mark offshore for a total of $105 million.
Mm-hmm.
And as the movie we've been talking about many times here on Box Office Breakdown, in China, The Great Wall, that's right, Matthew Damon. I call him Matthew Damon for some reason. Using his full name, Matthew
yes,
Damon.
You know.
That great action adventure that he's got coming out. Can't wait to see that. Is approaching $150 million. As it begins spreading out over China and surrounding territories. And Hacksaw Ridge got some more box office gold in there, so it's a little bit under $53 million. And The Arrival, the film that Carrie Lane did not really enjoy that much.
No.
Finally crossed $150 million mark worldwide after its second week in international release. And Passengers, finally, is eyeing a $55 to $60 million total through the weekend abroad.
You know, and then there's some movies I've definitely had where I've liked them maybe later after I've let it, like, sit how I feel about it. Like, maybe when I saw it, I was like, it's okay. And then I think about it later and I reference it. I'm like, okay, it's actually probably better than I first thought it was.
Oh, okay.
So I was just, nope, Arrival still, meh.
No.
But it's funny, like, seeing people post on my Facebook wall, they're like, oh my gosh, I saw it and I really liked it. And I'm like, I thought it was meh.
I liked it more than you did, but still, you know, as
not
we talked about before.
Yeah, not blown away.
Yeah. Just when you feel like you're ahead of the audience, it kind of disappoints.
Thank you, chat. That's a good way to put it. Force Awakens was fun and Rogue One was intriguing. I agree with that. Yes.
Alvin says Rogue One was definitely the first Star Wars movie where I felt the war part, for
yes.
sure.
Yes. That's a good point. They're good in their own right, for sure. It's just one of those, like, there's a difference, too, between, like, a good movie and then, like, the how much are you going to rewatch it and how you're going to feel after, you know? So yeah.
Visually, I really liked a lot of stuff that Rian Johnson did with that, just in terms of, like, that when the Death Star comes down and just shoots down the first city that they're on.
Yes.
Right, just the destruction that causes. Just so well realized, I thought.
Yeah. Actually, thinking of a random other movie thing, I saw the play Amelie, which I loved it. Loved it. If you get a chance, you should see it if you're in Los Angeles. And if it's going to Broadway, guys, so you can see it later. But Amelie's one of my favorite movies, and I felt they did a really good adaptation to stage because it became a musical, and they changed up certain things that you go, yeah, that wouldn't really work, or it didn't move the story forward. Like, it really was the thing where I'm like, oh, that's one of my favorite parts of the movie, and they didn't put it because it doesn't really drive the narrative. Yeah. Or it just wouldn't translate to a stage versus in a film. Yeah, it just doesn't play the same way. But otherwise, I was like, oh my gosh, like, super fun to see it in another medium and change it up a little bit.
Oh, very.
It's a side, rather random thing that's going on out there.
So you're hoping for Rogue One to play, is what
No.
you're saying.
But it's interesting when just seen stories from different angles. Well, people like read the books or read the comics, and like it's the same medium or the same thing you like, but in different mediums that you get to enjoy.
Yeah, and it's cool to see how people how it's interpreted for different mediums.
Yes.
To try to use the strengths of that medium to its full potential.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've only got, in terms of we also like the box office bet, that's still continuing here in 2017, guys. We're excited to be doing this box office bet every week.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we're not going to really rely on you to vote this week because there's only one film coming out in wide release.
Woo-hoo!
And that is Underworld Blood Wars.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm excited.
I'm playing
a marathon, all the old ones, and catch up.
We'll get to that in just a second about my feelings about Underworld.
Oh, okay.
But as always, we'd like to do a little box office of an actor that's starring in a film that's coming out this coming week. And as we're talking about Underworld, of course, you've got to talk about the lovely and talented Kate Beckinsale.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do a quick little look back at top five Kate Beckinsale box office movies. Coming in at number five, Contraband, the Mark Wahlberg picture from Universal. $66.5 million in its opening weekend there. Came out in 2012.
I did not see that. I'm looking at this list and I'm like, wow, I haven't seen a lot of her movies. Top five money-earning ones. Let's go that way.
It's kind of a very middling Mark Wahlberg film. So, and Giovanna Ribisi is just irritating in that film. Coming in number four, Underworld Awakening came out also in 2012, $62.3 million. So look at opening weekend was $25.3 million. So that's a little bit more realistic. You didn't see Underworld Awakening?
No, I was joking. I said I did see that one.
Yes, okay.
I didn't see Total Recall. I saw the original Total Recall, but not that one. I just never got around to it.
It's certainly it's a way different take, and I guess probably more closer to the source material.
Okay.
In the way that it interprets that. So yeah, that's her number three film, Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Farrell's taking over the role of Arnold Schwarzenegger. That opened up at $25.5 million back in 2012. Man, 2012 was really Kate Beckinsale's year, man. She was
apparently busy.
Yes. Number four, Love and Friendship from 2016, $133.5 million.
Yeah. I don't remember that one at all.
I don't remember that one either.
Nope.
And final one, The Disappointments Room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not someone mentioned Van Helsing, but I was like, that's not in top five, but I like that one.
Nah.
It's another one that's like, okay, there's plenty of bad movies that I like, quote unquote bad, but I enjoy them. It's a difference of like good movie, but you enjoy it, and a good movie that you don't enjoy.
But man, I wanted to love Van Helsing so much, and I was so
too campy for you.
It was too campy. It's
it's so fun.
Because I feel like Stephen Sommers, he does the same thing with The Mummy. I feel like The Mummy is a movie I should really enjoy.
Yeah.
But it was just, there's too much camp in there. It just soured it to me just enough where I'm just like, oh, this is not what I want.
Yeah.
But
that's one where I can go, I totally understand why, though. I wouldn't argue to be like, well, no, it's not. I'd be like, no, it's campy and either you like it or you don't.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw that movie in the theater with my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah?
And her big beef was when the werewolf goes to tackle him off the cliff and he moves. And then the werewolf falls in the water. She's like, oh, that was way too long before you heard the splash. I was like, this is a movie with werewolves, vampires, and Frankensteins, and that is your big critique. Too long before we heard the splash.
It's a big cliff. It's a blooper.
That's true.
That was like the Jurassic Park cliff blooper.
There you go. Well, I mean, it's like, Chuck Jones from Warner Brothers and the Looney Tunes. I always had to figure out what was the right amount of frames and seconds that it took for Wile E. Coyote to hit. I think it was like 21 seconds was the appropriate amount. Like two.
Okay.
Yeah, if it was a little longer than that, it just didn't pay off. And if it was too short, it didn't quite pay off. So that was like they timed it out to like 21 seconds was the perfect amount.
Very specific.
Yeah, there you go. A comedy is a science, Carrie.
You know? Yes. Love and Friendship. Jane Austen limited release. Oh, okay. Thank you. Right. Now that makes more sense.
I feel like a lot of people in the chat are really loving just Kate Beckinsale more than the films that she's been in. One person in the chat mentioned she'd like to see him paint and cut grass. You can see Kate Beckinsale do things like that. Nichols Random also has a question in the chat. Carrie, what do you think of the new Indiana Jones movie?
I don't even think I've seen a trailer.
No, I mean...
Wait, there's another one?
Well, they're supposed to be doing one more with Harrison Ford. And then we'll see what happens after that.
Now, see, that's one where, like, different... It's not really kind of different medium. I loved Young Indiana Jones. Because, see, that's something where you're taking a concept that you know and you like, and you're putting on a TV show versus a film. And it was a great way to continue on with this character you know and love. Yeah. So that was a good, like, didn't matter, like, same actors, because you're like, no, it's him as a young man, so it's fine. Actually, they did him as, a, like, a really young, like, 10 or 12 or something, and then, like, as a young 20s.
Oh, it was Sean Patrick
Flanery. He was really cute.
Yeah.
In that.
No, I felt like that was a series where I enjoyed less of the really young one, and I enjoyed more of the Sean Patrick Flanery, yeah. That kind of age. Well, I thought that was more to do.
Yeah.
Because he could be more proactive.
Sure. Yeah. Yes, he can't do as much when he's a little kid. But the Mummy trailer, you know what? When I went and looked back, I could not find the version where Tom Cruise's screaming sounds as stupid as it did the first time I heard it. Talk about this?
Yeah, they feel like they kind of went and
tweaked it. I think they changed it, because when I was in theaters, I was like, that's not the version I watched. And then, I don't know if you guys saw it, but the first new Mummy trailer, Tom Cruise's scream is like, and it keeps going, and you're like, it's way louder than that, I don't want to blow out the mic. But it's just so lame that I laughed, and then when I went and looked at it again, I'm like, it doesn't sound the same. I wonder if enough people said something that they re-release it. I don't know.
You got to figure, Tom Cruise's people are on that social media.
They're like, that's that? a bad image. People are laughing at him.
Because I think I remember that.
See somebody else in chat. The screaming was horrible. It was bad. Did you see the trailer?
I did.
That part? Do you remember the thing I'm talking about, though? Because
I feel like there's been people that have taken that and used that scream in other things.
Oh,
so I got to look that up. I remember, and I didn't watch any of those, but they used that scream in other ones.
I bet.
Because it's so ridiculous.
It's so bad. I mean, I understand I'm screaming. That's fine. But, it just keep it. You're like, no, it was weird. It was bad. That maybe is a bad moment, a bad direction.
Yes.
Be like, well, let's take it back. Don't do that.
Speaking of trailers real quick before we get into next week's box office predictions. Alien Covenant.
Same effing problem I had with Prometheus. I'm going to go on Alien Planet. I'm going to touch shit, and I'm not going to have a hazmat suit on. No. Automatic. No. I have you guys are the worst scientists in the universe. I on Earth, if I have to go touch something that I don't know what that substance is, I'm wearing at least some form of glove and a mask of some sort if it's near any inhaling particles or anything like that. And they're on an alien planet. You don't, and unless they kind of go, hey, we've been here a bunch, so we know it's safe. But if it's a new place and they're not wearing a hazmat kind of nothing getting in suit, I'm just like, that tunes me out so much.
So even if you were on a spaceship and you landed on a planet and all the environmental factors said it's very much like an Earth-based environment, would you be comfortable walking out just?
Not right away, no.
Still, you go on
even if it
full
goes.
Gear.
I love the it's oxygen. Let's take our mask off. But you see in the trailer, there's stuff like
nope.
Not if you're brand new exploring it.
It looks, I will say, Prometheus, that movie bugs me to no end, but yet visually, it is beautifully shot at point, and I feel like that just keeps making me want to go back and watch it, even though I get so angry at some of the dumb story and directing choices in there. Happens with Charlize Theron at the end, where she just gets squashed like a cartoon character? So dumb.
That was pretty dumb, yeah. I think the only part I liked is when she does the surgery on herself to get the alien out. That was oh my God, I was squirming and just but yeah, and it's, you see it in the trailer for the new one, the same exact
Yeah, Billy Crudup looking at hey, this thing's opening up, let me put my face by it.
Same stupid thing. It's let's touch things and go places and they don't know anything about it. Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's why I'm just nope. I mean, I'm no scientist, but I've worked with hazardous materials enough to know you gotta wear gear. And that's on Earth.
Yeah. And certainly in the trailers, I've been playing up the Michael Fassbender parts, but we haven't seen much of, we haven't seen anything so far, even though we know that she's back. Noemi Rapace? Am I saying her name correctly?
Girl Drawing a Tattoo?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to say her name.
But yes, but so far we haven't seen any hint about what she's up to in this.
Prometheus School of Running Away Things. Yes, Running Away. Yep.
Oh, so terrible. Mm-hmm. So, ugh. Yeah, and I agree with you. The part where, those two dum-dums in the tunnel touch that little pod popping out of the water. Why?
Actually, Life? Is that a new sci-fi one? It's called Life? Live. Okay, guys, I don't remember the name. There's another new sci-fi one where someone said Kirk never practiced safe alien sex and he turned out okay. Well, that's a very not scientific show. But there's a new one. I want to say it's Life or something like that. And they are in a space station. It's multiple people from different countries. And same thing. They've grown a life or there's a life, and the guy does the finger, and it goes bad. And you're just like, ah, no. Yes. Yeah, why do science movies have to give bad reps to scientists? I know, right? It's just, oh, no, it's not the, it's a short, it's like one word. Sci-fi movies and horror movies. I would rather you try the logical choice and it just goes horribly wrong.
Yes.
But if you just have the, I'm going to do the stupid thing, and then that's, Oh, yeah, Life with Ryan Reynolds. Thank you. I was like, it's Life? Yeah, thank you. It's called Life, and just watching that trailer, too, I'm just so frustrated just by the basic first concept of it that I'm like, oh, but that's one of those, like, oh, that's all your fault because you did that. Now the whole movie. But, yeah.
I just want people just write them at the top of their intelligence. That's all it is.
Yes. Try to do the right thing, and if it doesn't work, that's fine. You at least tried.
Yes.
Yes, but anyway.
In a moment, we're going to do our box office bet on Underworld Blood Wars. But before we do that, we're going to pick our top five for next week's box office. Of course, with only one film in the running, right? Underworld Box Blood Wars. And just to give you a little context there, the Underworld films, the first one did $21 million on its opening weekend. Okay. The second did $25 million, and the third did $26 million.
Okay, so it's a good solid just under 30.
Yeah.
And what year did the last one come out?
Last one came out in the second one did 26 million, the third one did 25, and they came out in 2012.
Okay, so like 5 years ago?
It's been about 5 years since the last one.
Okay. But okay, here's the thing we've talked about, guys, of what about, like, you're saying franchises coming back, and you're like, who wanted the sequel? So this one, it's a franchise by now. This one and Resident Evil. Which Resident Evil, they're like, the last one. And then they have another, and you're like, that's not the last one. So for this one, though, I don't mind that it's been 5 years to make another one. I'm like, sure, I like the franchise, I'll go watch it.
And there were 6 years between the second and third.
Oh, okay. Then they've already established big gaps of time.
Yeah, and so it was only about $1 million less in the box office for its opening weekend. So, I mean, it seems like there is a loyal fan base for this.
Yeah. Definitely. So,
given that, what do you think next week's top five is going to look like, Carrie Lane?
All right. I think, well, Rogue One's numbers are so high, I think it will stay up there. Rogue One will be one. Because I like doing curveballs. Let's put Underworld is two, Sing is three, Passengers four, and Moana five.
Interesting. Okay.
Just because it's like, well, if you look at Sing going down 50%, because it's roughly down 50%, that it's at 42, half off of that is like around 20 something. Yeah. So if Underworld does at least 25, it puts it at number two.
I can see that. Maybe. Maybe. And given that it's track record. So yeah, I mean, I can't, especially January, and there's other ones came out in January as well. So pretty good kind of sample size about how it could do. So, yeah, I think I'll go with you, Rogue One. I'm going to go with Underworld number two as well. Sing, I'm going to say Moana stays ahead and Passengers drops down. Mm. So, boom, 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 boom.
Oh.
Yeah.
You think Moana will go above Passengers?
I think so. I think Passengers just doesn't have, I don't know.
Can I change? I'm like, I actually think about it. I'm like, I think you're right.
Oh, all right. Look at that.
I'll go back. Yeah, well, I'll agree with you. I'm like, yeah, Rogue One, then Underworld, then Sing, then Moana, then Passengers.
Okay, so that is what we think. And now, ladies and gentlemen, of course, we're going to do our box office bet on Underworld Blood Wars. We've talked about it enough. Let's bet on it. Of course, the box office bet works. Carrie and I will both bet on what we think the opening
now
gross.
We both think number two. So.
Yes. We'll be for Underworld Blood Wars. The person closest to the actual gross gets to brag about how awesome they are, their prognostication skills. And, of course, the person farthest away will have to go see Underworld Blood Wars and tell us all about it.
Is Hidden Figures next week?
A week after. It's already been kind of in limited release, and now it's going wide.
When? I thought it was January 6th. Shouldn't that be on the...
But it's already been out.
So... Oh, it's not the same. Yeah. I do want to see that one.
Yes, that looks good.
Oh, actually, you know what? I think that might make it onto top five.
Hidden Figures. No.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay, I think that is going to be an honorable mention that either will make it on there or will be close.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah. All right.
Because it looks really good. Good people. So... Okay.
All right. We figure they've.
Okay, fine.
We figure it's been around.
Right?
Anywhere from the $21 to $26 million box office range. So, what do you think? But 5 years, is the fan base still so loyal?
It's been around like 24 to 27.
Yeah. 21 for the first one, 25 for the third, and 26 for the second. So a slight dip, but not much. Pretty negligible when you think about it.
I feel they've been advertising a long time, though, too.
Yeah.
That helps.
That's true.
Right? Yes. Well, okay. I'm... Back to my top five. I feel if Passengers is out, I'd put Hidden Figures there.
I did
Passengers 5. I changed my mind. I want Hidden Figures to be 5.
Okay.
I want it to be 5.
All right.
At least. All right, I got my number.
Okay. All right. Are you ready? Carrie Lane, what do you got?
26.
Oh! I decided to match my boy Star Drew. We both did 22.
22 and 26.
Star Drew and I, man, we're thinking alike. I like where we're heading there, Star Drew. Yes. So, yeah, a little bit of a difference here. Yeah. We're going to see. No room to hide in the box office bet with only two people doing it. So, you got to be on your game, man. This is real
stakes.
It's
only one movie, so.
Anyway, I guess we both want to see it. So.
Well, what was he? Actually, random, sorry guys, rewind of a thing of, I finally saw X-Men Apocalypse. I wanted to say that. I literally watched it today. And I like that they have a reference to Star Wars in the movie because they go to watch Return of the Jedi and talking about the Star Wars franchise. I thought, they're like, oh, the third one we could all agree is not as good. I'm like, oh, I love Return of the Jedi because the Ewoks.
So, yeah, and a nice little subtle dig at Brett Ratner and his third X-Men film.
Yeah, it was okay. I didn't hate it. I had no expectations by now. I was just like, oh, I haven't watched that one yet. They definitely introduce so much people and give no depth. It's one of those, do you like them or not right away? I think, in general, I think Apocalypse is a very weak villain in terms of, like, I don't care his motives or anything like that. Like, I want a villain where I can go, oh, I understand, and, like, that makes sense. And this one, I'm just like, I don't care. And so I'm like, no.
I want to know why Olivia Munn took this role as Psylocke in this film, because she is absolutely wasted in this movie.
Yeah, that character could have done much more.
She barely says anything.
Yeah, I was like, no lines, yeah. And...
And then at the end, she kind of just slinks away.
Fighting, she wants to be a superhero.
That, a wasted role? An absolutely wasted role. Yeah. They did nothing with
Jubilee
her.
Too?
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, we get to like, see one shot with her wearing her yellow, blowing a bubble, wearing her yellow raincoat, and that's it.
I felt it was just... Okay, I'm glad I saw it. Of like, all right, now I've seen it. And there were moments I like, but otherwise it was just like, all right.
I would actually really love for
their
X-Men
blooper
franchise.
Reel though on the DVD is really funny. Random side note.
Oh boy, I would hope like after Logan's done, they just do a hard reboot on the X-Men.
Oh, I'm
universe.
Excited for Logan though.
Logan looks really cool.
Yes, that does look good.
But just give me a hard reboot and let's just start
over
from scratch.
Somebody was saying in the chat that they're doing another. One again, but
yeah, I heard like taking place in the 90s.
I'd rather bring back other things that we haven't really done shows of. Ooh, Spider-Man Homecomings, I'm excited for that one.
Man, you had
that trailer, I was like, so excited
when he has the webs underneath his armpits. You had me at that second. I don't care about the rest of the movie. I'm so
I like
down
this
for this
suit, and he taps the thing and it falls off. I was like, yes. It just looks. He's. I am one of those people that I forget who was saying it. Maybe somebody on my Facebook or something like that. But at first they were like, when he was in the Civil War, of just like, I don't know about that guy being Spider-Man. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, he's perfect. I was the same way at first. I just was like, oh, I don't know. And then I was like, dude, he's spot on.
Yes, and it just I like
feels right.
He's in the Marvel Universe. Love it. I love it.
Oh, there you go. A lot of people in the chat room. No more X-Men reboots. I agree. There's tons of comics out there. So many. That it's just like, just do another. And there's just multiple X-Men.
They should make a reboot into a live-action movie. Have neither of you seen reboot? No?
No. I know Dan DiDio.
It was a cartoon in the 90s.
Yes. Dan DiDio, who's the head of DC Comics right now, worked on that.
Where, like the games would come in. No,
I don't think
Carrie,
I know.
How do you not know about
it? I might need to look it up and see the
you
picture
go,
of it and be like, oh, yeah, that.
As soon as you see Enzo, you'd be like, oh, that show.
Yes. oh, yes. Yes. Okay. That'd be cool. Sorry. I remember it now. It's like the thing of like, I don't mean to interrupt. I just randomly remember things and get very excited. That was one of those moments.
Yeah. I mean, it's like other than Deadpool, I just like just give all the other Marvel characters back to Marvel and let them do it. Or at least
just do a new one. Like, someone in the chat mentioned Runaways. I've read the beginning of that. Like, that was
a really good series.
X-Force, some people were mentioning that. I did hear they're bringing Cable in, so... But, like...
Yeah, but it's all...
Just do a different...
I have such a low... thing. A threshold for trust with Fox because they've done so many bad superhero movies. Like, I feel like their Fantastic Four series. Ugh, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Ugh, yep. I need to see that. Mm-hmm. But that is
anyway.
Gonna, yeah. Look at that. That's gonna bring us to the end of this episode.
What?
Look at the first box office breakdown of 2017. We did it, Carrie.
Where's our champagne? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. and with a new year, there is one new change for the show. We are now gonna move to Sunday nights. So one day sooner, you're going to get that box office prognostication that you hunger for.
Right.
So it'll be Sunday night, same time, so 10 p.m. Pacific time, same time, but just that one day sooner for all your box office needs. You can find us right here. And as always, folks, thanks for joining in the chat. We'd love to hear your comments. It was great to be able to have you guys back interacting with us after the long holiday break. You can also subscribe to the YouTube channel, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, like us on Facebook, and if you want to continue the conversation with us or give us a hard time about our top 10 choices and why we didn't come up with that idea ourselves, where can they find you?
Yes, I will bring my top 5 for the year next week. I need to write them all down because I'm like, I don't remember what I saw. So guys, you can find me online at Carrie DeLane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And you can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Folks, we'll see you next week, Sunday night, 10 p.m., for another episode of Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.